to the book of Genesis. Made it easy to find today. The book of Genesis, for those that you may not know, that's the first book in the Bible. The book of Genesis, chapter 15. The book of Genesis in chapter 15. We're going to read just the first six verses of this chapter this morning. The title of my message, What Does It Mean to Believe? That might sound like a very simple question, and it is a very simple question in essence. And yet we find that the very simple things of the Bible, people get very confused on. And the things in the Bible that are difficult to understand, that's what people try to simplify. So we get it all backwards. So what does it mean? What does it actually mean to believe? Let's look in Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1. Follow along in your Bible if you would, as I read aloud, beginning in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1, down through verse 6. The Bible says, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6. And he, being Abram, he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word. Everything we know about you that is right comes from your book. God, there are a lot of philosophies, a lot of teachings, a lot of ideas and thoughts that people propose today that they believe are true when it comes to God. But Father, those things we know to be true are those that are tried and tested by your word. So we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, that it points us to you. God, through its stories and illustrations, through its examples and its exact wording, Father, all glory is given to you through it. And Father, as we consider this thing of belief this morning, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Father, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, that Father, I might be able to communicate to your people this morning the word and the thought that you put on my heart. And Father, may we be impressed this morning with the simplicity of belief. God, we're thankful you didn't require something stupendous, something beyond us. God, something we couldn't attain or reach. But Father, you made it so very simple that if we'd simply believe. So Father, impress upon our hearts this morning the simplicity of that faith and that salvation, and Lord, the clarity of it throughout the teaching of the Word of God, and speak to hearts this morning. I pray, Father, there's someone here that's never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, that today they would recognize that and put their faith and trust in Him. And Father, for we that are already saved and have put our faith and trust in Christ, that we might be reminded this morning of the simplicity of belief, and Father, not be confused and confounded by those that want to add so many other things to it. Bless the preaching of your word. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct each and every heart. For we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 15, we have the first occurrence of the word believe in the Bible. Now it comes in different forms, believe, believed, believing, believeth. And it's recorded over 300 times in Scripture. And we're thankful for a word that's mentioned often so that we can use those references to get a clear idea of what this word actually means, because folks get it confused sometimes. Faith is not the same as thinking. Well, I think this, or I think that, excuse me. Believing is not the same as thinking. But I think this, or I think that. It's not the same as an opinion. It's not even the same as an agreement, a mental assent. Well, I believe this to be true, and therefore it is true. That just doesn't work. The secular dictionaries give us a secular definition of the word believe, and of course that's what they do, that's what they're there for. And they tell us that the definition of this word is an acceptance that a statement is true. That's what belief is. An acceptance that a statement is true. Well, there's a problem with that. It's an acceptance that a statement is true. To believe means that whatever is said, you agree with it. Well, did you know that for years, hundreds of years, people believed that the earth was flat? That it actually rode on the back of a turtle? This is in science books in ancient history. And that if you sailed far enough one direction or the other, mainly east or west, you could actually fall off of the earth. Now, I've never read yet where they fell off to, but you could fall off. And so they were fearful. Back in Columbus days, many people were scared to death to make a voyage and sail because they thought they could reach the end of the world and fall off the end. They were sincere in what they believed. They were sincere in what they thought. They were sincere in what they agreed to. But can we all agree today they were wrong? So belief is not just believing a statement to be true. It has to be true before you believe it. People will tell you today there are many roads to heaven, many paths to God. Some people are going this path, this religion, this way, that direction, this sense of morality. They might believe that, but just like the theory that the earth is flat, that belief is wrong. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If he's right, and I have no question in my mind, I don't think you do either. If he's right, then all those that think there are many paths to God and many ways to God are believing something that is wrong. You see the importance of belief? But not just believing, but believing the right thing. I gave you the secular dictionary definition of faith. Let me give you now Nelson's Bible dictionary definition of faith. And I believe it's more accurate to what we're looking at this morning. Nelson's Bible dictionary gives the definition of believing, as this: to place one's trust in God's truth. That's what believing is. To put one's trust in God's truth. Do you know if you believe what the Bible says, it will always be right? It might not be accepted in society, it might not be liked by society, but if you believe what God says, you'll always be right. It won't be that 100 or 1,000 years from now, somebody will discover that there was a mistake there and it's not true. God's Word is unchanging, it's infallible. And it will always be right, and what it says is true. So it's not a matter of just believing, but what you believe in. Can we go back to our verse in Genesis chapter 15? What did Abram believe? He is having a conversation with God at this time about the fact that at his advanced age, he's never had a child, and he desired to have one. And all he's got is this fine young man named Eliezer, who is the steward of his house. He is the keeper of his goods, the manager of his affairs. And there's nothing wrong with this young man. Abraham sends him on an assignment later on. So there's nothing wrong with this man. But Abraham says, "But I want one of my own. I want my own seed." And God takes him to a hillside and says, "Look up into the sky and see if you can number the stars in heaven." God gives Abram a promise. "As many as the stars are in heaven and the sands of the sea, so shall thy seed be." God gave him a promise. And verse 6 says, "And he believed in the Lord." You know what belief is? Belief is a properly placed trust. Something that's put in something that is assured and guaranteed to be right and to be true. And the only belief that you and I are going to get that's going to be guaranteed to be right and true are the promises of God. They're never failing. They're never questioned. They're never with error. Abram believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. It's such a simple statement. Such a clear statement. Such a brief statement. He believed in the Lord and God counted it to him for righteousness. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We take all the good things that we can muster from our human effort and we put them in a pile and God says, I'll put a match to it and it'll all burn up. Your righteousness cannot attain my favor. Your good deeds could never be enough to overcome the sinful nature that's in you from the fall in the Garden of Eden. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. But the Bible said that when Abraham believed in the Lord, God counted it to him for righteousness. That one small, if we want to call that, that one small thing he did was bigger than all of the righteous deeds that the most righteous person has ever done. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or he said about them to other people, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and Sadducees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because it's not attained by righteousness. But it is attained by believing. Can you? Doesn't that just astound you? That of all the conditions God could put on man to pleasing Him, to get His righteousness, all the commandments of the Old Testament, not just the ten not written on the two tablets of stone, but all the commandments of the Old Testament, all of the rules and laws of the New Testament, and yet with all that in place, God still says, if you really want to please Me, if you really want My favor, if you want My righteousness, believe. Oh, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God did not load me down with a whole bunch of things that I have to do to earn His favor. But He simply told me if I would simply believe. Now this morning, as always on Sunday morning, you've got a little paper in your bulletin that says sermon notes. And usually when you use those sermon notes when I'm preaching, you'll by the time you're done, you'll have three very well-crafted points, very well-thought-out and well-designed points that all are alliterated and start with the same letter or something like this. And when you walk out, you'll just have this brilliant outline of a sermon. Nobody's saying amen to any of that, but you'll have this brilliant outline of a sermon in your hands when you go out. Can I forewarn you this morning? You're not going to have that. I have no points. I have no outline. I have no structure to this. What I have, and this is what I hope you walk out with on the paper this morning, is a list of verses in your Bible that emphasize the importance of believing. Over 300 times that word is used in our Scripture. Let me rest you assured, we're not going to look at all 300. But that is more than the references to any other way of salvation that anybody else could dream up with or come up with. It's by believing. And I want to convince you this morning by looking at the Word of God. Not by listening to my well-crafted sermon with my great outline and alliterated points, but by the verses of the Word of God, I want you to see the emphasis is on believing. Time and time and time again. Abraham believed in the Lord and God counted it to him for righteousness. We're going to talk about it a little bit more tonight on the sermon Back to Bethel. But can I tell you that Abraham was not sinless or perfect after Genesis 15:6? He made some mistakes. He did some bad things. But it never overruled that on this day he believed in the Lord and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. The Lord never revoked that righteousness the day he believed in the Lord. Oh, that's a precious promise of God. We don't have to live a perfect, sinless life because we couldn't. But we have to believe in the Lord so that He can count it to us for righteousness. Let's look at some verses. We're going to do a Bible drill this morning, I guess. though we won't have you timed or stand up, but turn from Genesis all the way back toward the end of the New Testament. Go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Again, looking for clarity in Scripture as to what this thing belief is all about. How do we come to God? Well, some believe you have to come to Him through some religious formula, through sacraments, through the church, through confessions. But notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. We could start in verse 1, but we'll just jump in at verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." And that Him, of course, is a reference to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Impossible without faith. No matter what else you do, you can't please Him without faith. A lot of do-gooders, a lot of folks with great ideas and thoughts of bettering society, and those, we need more of that, that's fine. But if it's not based on faith, it's not pleasing to God. It says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You know what's necessary for believing? Coming to God, believing that He is. I don't know if there really is an atheist on the face of the earth. There are many that claim to be. But in conversations I've had and things I've read and things I've noted, they never completely shut the door on the existence of God. Even the top-notch atheists of our day have written books. And one of them said this, out of 10 possible steps to being a complete atheist, I'm probably at step number 9. That's what he said. One of the leading atheists of our day. You know why? He couldn't cross the line to number 10. He couldn't get himself to completely denying the existence of God because it's complete foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So what we do is we go from a point of wondering if there's a God, an atheist, an agnostic, if there is a God, why this, why that. We get to that point of exercising belief or believing in something, and we believe that God is. Do you believe that He is? Not, do you think He is, but do you believe that He is? Are you assured? Are you confident? Do you believe that He is? That's faith. Because you have no proof. He's not going to walk in the back doors of this auditorium this morning. He's not going to come and sit down in the pew physically so that you can see Him. He did one time a couple of millennia ago, but He doesn't do that today. By faith, we believe that He is. Turn, if you would, to 1 John. If you're in Hebrews, go to the right just a little bit. You'll see 1 and 2 Peter, then you get to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John. Look at chapter 5. Following this thread that the Bible gives us of the necessity of believing. And so I thought it was this, that, and the other thing. Well, that's what many people think, but we're trying to see the emphasis in the Scripture is on believing. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You see the very simple statement again? Whosoever believeth. That's the emphasis. That's the word. That's the clear all right there. That word. No other conditions. No other things necessary. But whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You have to believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on that which is true and established according to the Word of God. Believe that He is the Savior of the world. the Christ that came to deliver people from their sins. That's what believing's all about. Now again, folks believe all kinds of things, some of them reasonable, some of them unreasonable. But biblical believing is believing in Jesus Christ. Believing that He is who He claimed to be. Go back, if you would, to the book of Acts. And I hope you're writing these references down. And again, the emphasis in every reference is this simple word, believe. And I want it this morning to impress you that it's overwhelming in Scripture that the necessity to pleasing God is believing. Does He want you to do other things? Absolutely. Is there more things that you add to your faith once you trust Him and believe in Him? Sure there are. But as far as being declared righteous, being born of God, being saved, it's just by believing. Here in Acts chapter 8, a very well-known story. Philip the evangelist has been called away from a great revival in Samaria to go out to the middle of a desert to meet one man. We call that the value of one. Leaving a great revival to go out to talk to one man. He's an Ethiopian man. He's coming back from Jerusalem having purchased a copy of a scroll or a book of the prophet Isaiah. And he's reading that in his chariot. He is a eunuch in the house of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, so he's a man of some prestige. He's got those servants that are carrying him in that thing that he's in. And as they're carrying him, he's sitting inside of that and he's reading that scripture. And as Philip draws near to that chariot, he can hear him reading the words of Isaiah 53. And Philip draws near to him and says to him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" The Ethiopian says, "How can I except some man guide me?" So he reads the scriptures out loud. He was led as a sheep before his shearers was dumb. And Philip begins to preach from Isaiah 53 to this Ethiopian eunuch in the middle of the desert, preaches to him Jesus Christ. Convinces him that He is the Savior of the world. And here in Acts chapter 8, down in verse number 36, the Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" I appreciate this eunuch. The Holy Spirit began to open up his eyes and show him some things, but he's still a little bit confused. It's the way lost folks are. And he thinks there's something. It has something to do with the water. And he says, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "Go ahead, get wet." No, that's not what he said. "Yeah, let's get baptized and you'll be right with God. It'll be counted for you for righteousness." Nope, that's not what he said. "If you get baptized, you'll be born of God." That's not what he said. Following the thread of Scripture, Philip said in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." You know where salvation is? It's not in the moving of waters. It's not in H2O. It's in believing. "If thou believest with all thine," notice, "heart," not head. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And notice his answer. Oh, I love this at the end of verse 37. I love this response. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You know what happened that very moment? It was counted to him for righteousness. You know what happened that very moment? He was born of God. According to Genesis, according to 1 John, according to the thread of Scripture we're looking at, that being born into that family, being declared righteous by God, is an act that happens when someone says, "I believe," or words that, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then he commanded the chariot to stand still. Then he took him into the water. Then he baptized him. But it was all conditioned on believing. What does someone need to do to be born into the family of God? Believe. It's not hard. It's not challenging. It's not difficult. God wanted it to be simple. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us simply to believe. Go to Romans chapter 10 with me if you would, right after the book of Acts. Romans chapter 10, two of the most familiar verses, I guess, to us when it comes to being a witness to those without Christ and helping them to come to Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, I hope you're getting the references, and again, the word, believe. The emphasis in the Bible on believing. Yes, other things are mentioned. We are to do things after we believe. But to have it counted for righteousness is to believe in the Lord. To be born of God is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. To be saved, what must I do? To be saved is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says this as far as coming to Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Man, how simple, how easy, how direct, how clear. How can man muddle that up? But they do. From Genesis to 1 John, from Hebrews to Acts, to Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Again, we've seen the emphasis in these last two references of believing from the heart, not from the head. You can know all the facts about Jesus Christ. You can know He was born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, born to Mary. His earthly father, as it were Joseph. You can know all the facts and the details about Him without knowing Him. I've read many biographies in my life, and I could take any of those people I've read a biography about and start spewing off facts about them. Where they're from, when they were born, what they did as a career, what made them famous if they're famous, who they were married to, how many children. I can give you statistics on people I've read biography. Have I ever met most of those people? No. I don't know them. I know about them. But if you believe in your heart, the Bible says in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Back to Genesis 15. Believeth unto righteousness. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's counted to you for righteousness. What a wonderful promise of God. One that we're not worthy of or deserving of, and yet He in His mercy and grace, that's what it's all about, mercy and grace, has given it to us. If you believe in your heart. Turn back one book again, back to the book of Acts chapter 16, carrying this thread again through Scripture. Majoring mainly in the New Testament now, we started in Genesis, but looking at the New Testament promises. Notice what happens in Acts chapter 16, one of the very familiar passages again. Paul and Silas are in prison for the cause of Christ. While in that dark, damp prison cell, after having been being beaten and are in chains, in their hands and on their feet, they sing praises to God at midnight. And God, in response, sends an earthquake. And when that earthquake comes, the prison doors are opened and their chains fell off. Automatically, when that happened in any other scenario, it happened not only to them, but to all the prisoners in the cell and or in the prison. And when that happened, they'd be heading for the hills. They'd be getting out of that prison as fast as they could. But God froze them in their places. When the keeper of the jail realized the doors were open and assumed the prisoners were gone, he was about to take his life, because under Roman law, if he had prisoners that escaped under his watch, his life was given in exchange for them. But the men come to him and said, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." This shook up that Philippian jailer so much. The songs of praise that he heard coming from the cell, the prayers of thanksgiving being given to God in such an awful situation, the earthquake, no doubt by the hand of God, that opened up the cells. The Bible says in verse number 29 of Acts chapter 16, "Then he, being the keeper of the prison, he called for a light and sprang in." It was complete darkness in that cell. "He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Can you think of any more clear, direct question than that right there? It said in Romans chapter 10, "If you believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved." That's a biblical word, being saved. And the Bible says here that that man said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In verse 31, the classic answer to their question. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Were they wrong? Did they mislead him? Did they tell him an untruth? Did they forget to tell him about baptism and the speaking of tongues and the Lord's Supper and all these other things that you must do, and church attendance and tithing and being good to your neighbor and keeping the command? Did they forget all those things? No. That's not necessary to be saved. That's what he said. He didn't say, "What must I do to live a good life? What must I do to be religious?" He said, "What must I do to be saved? The one thing I want right now." Fear has gripped his heart. The testimony of Paul and Silas has affected him. "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." One word. One word. Believe. An acceptance of that which we know from the Bible to be true. Believe. The kids sing it downstairs. Faith is just believing what God said He would do. He will never fail you. His promises are true. If we but receive Him, His children we become. Faith is just believing this wondrous thing is done. May I say, and it's like splitting hairs, but there's a difference between faith and believing. Believing comes first. Faith comes second. If I could say it this way, faith is the engine. Or believing is the engine that drives faith. You put your faith in Him because you believe that He is. You put your faith in Him because you believe He can make you born of God. You put your faith in Him because you believe in your heart that He is the Son of God and that you can be born again and be saved. Believing is the first step. John chapter 3, verse 16. Here's one I won't have to have you turn to. You know what it is. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." What a tremendous first half of a verse. "For God so loved the world," this world, He loved it so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Part of Himself. That's what begotten is. Brought forth from Himself, part of God. He is the image of God, the image of the invisible God. God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, what's the next word? Believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See how simple it is? God didn't make it difficult. God did the work. He gave His only begotten Son. He sent Him down to this earth to be mistreated, to be spit upon, to be disregarded, to be nailed to a cross and crucified. God sent Him down here to do the hard part so that we simply had to believe. And yet man in their arrogance and ego says, "Oh no, I have to do this and I have to do that." No, God says, believe in the Lord. and I'll count it to you for righteousness. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you'll be born of God. Look at John chapter 1. That was John 3:16, as you know so well. But look at John chapter 1. Running this word believe through Scripture to emphasize what God emphasizes. He emphasizes belief. John chapter 1, verse number 12. Again, a familiar verse. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Notice the end of the verse. Even to them that believe on His name. You know what a person has to do to be born of God? What they have to do? They don't have to do anything. They have to believe. Man is so geared, man is so self-centered, that man thinks, I have to do something. No, God's already done it all. God has provided the way of salvation. He's made it as easy as it can possibly be. And all He asks us to do is believe what He's done. Not try to earn His favor or deserve His favor, but simply believe what God has done, and it's counted to him for righteousness. 1 John chapter 5, again going back toward the end. I know I could have put these in chronological order so you didn't have to get so much finger exercise this morning. But I'm trying to follow a thread here. Salvation, being born of God, being declared righteous, all these things all weave together in believing. Believing is the key that opens the door. It's not any other thing. It's believing. Can you trust God for His simplicity? 1 John chapter 5, again a very well-known verse, verse number 13. Let's turn to verse 12. I have a hard time skipping verse 12 anytime. He that hath the Son hath life. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. Somebody says, well, I don't agree with that. Everybody's welcome to their own opinion. But God said, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that what? Believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You know how you can know you have eternal life? By believing on the name of the Son of God. Simplicity, simplicity, simplicity. Did you notice verse 12 is all single syllable words? I like that. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. People say the Bible's hard to understand. No, it isn't. You heard somebody tell you that. You repeated that. That verse is all single-syllable words. And then you get to verse 13, and though there might be some double-syllable words in there, it simply says this, that if you believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. Where does it come from? Believing, 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 believing. Counted for righteousness. Declared righteous. Born of God. Born again. Saved. All these references connected to one thing. Believing. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Back to the left there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I told you it would be a lot of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1. My hope is this morning, it's twofold. Number one, if you're saved, you know you're saved because of believing. You're not basing it on any other thing. As I said about Abraham, and we'll talk about it tonight in Back to Bethel. As I said about Abraham or Abram, after Genesis 15:6, he lied a couple times. He made some mistakes in judgment. He did some wrong things. He associated with some wrong people. After Genesis 15, verse number 6. It doesn't make us sinless or perfect. But it does make us a child of God. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look if you would at verse number 12. We sing this song, it's a hymn in our hymn book, the last half of this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." He's talking about the cause of Christ. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed," Paul says, "for I know whom I have believed." You know what got Paul through the difficult times? The shipwrecks, the fastings, the perils at sea, the perils by his countrymen, the imprisonments, the beatings. He lists all these in Corinthians. You know what got him through these things? "I know whom I have believed." It made a change in Paul's life. From a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the son of a Pharisee, to the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What made the change? "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You know whom you believe, you have everlasting life. We're running out of time. Let me give you some more references. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. "He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 16. "He that believeth not shall be damned." The emphasis on believing. Not he who doesn't go to church. Not he who doesn't keep the commandments. But he that believeth not. Is it right to go to church? Sure. Is it right to keep the commandments? Absolutely. But when it comes to being counted to righteousness, it's believing. And he that believeth not is damned. John chapter 3. I said, I don't know how we not turn to him. John, let's make this the last one, all right? John chapter 3. It's not the last one on my page by any stretch of the imagination, but we'll go here just to make it clear. John chapter 3. We all know verse 16. This is a conversation the Lord is having with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. All of John chapter 3. It doesn't end at the beginning when he says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This whole chapter is directed toward him. In verse number 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The purpose of Christ coming into the world was not to better society. It was to save individuals. It was to save people from their sin. "I am come that they might have life." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." Do you see the contrast? Belief, believing not. Don't throw anything else in the equation. Don't add to God's word. Don't say, "What about this? What about this? What about this? What about that?" They have their place. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being born of God, when it comes to being born again, it's simply this. He came not to condemn the world, but he that believeth not, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. What do your lost neighbors need? Oh, they need their life overhauled. They need to get straightened out. No, you know what they need? They need to believe. They need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what overhauled most of our lives? You know what straightened most of us out if you got saved later? It was the Lord Jesus Christ in believing. That's what it takes. John chapter 3, look down if you would at verse number 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, But the wrath of God abideth on him. What is the mark of delineation? Believing. If you believe, you have life. If you believe not, you'll not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on you. What is believing? Putting your faith and trust in God. Knowing that what the Bible says is true, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That if you'll believe in Him, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. The argument in society, the argument among religious people is, well, it can't be that simple. Well, I think we've looked at enough verses this morning to see, yes, it can. It can be that simple. It can be just by believing. Because that's what the Bible declares. Let's stand together this morning with our heads.